Welcome to Creature Feature, production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host of Mini Parasites, Katie Golden. I studied psychology and evolutionary biology, and happy Creature Ween, everybody! On this first episode of our two-episode spooktacular, we must flee from a chitinous terror, a ten-legged devilish decapod, a creepy crustacean crawling closer and closer. It's Attack of the Killer Crabs! But first, a little story. Imagine you look up at the sky. It's a full moon. Wait, no it's not. It's a waxing crescent. Oh no, you start to sweat. You feel your body transforming. Your spine crumples painfully as your arms break from your collarbones, stretching and bending in front of you, as your knees snap and bend your legs forward. Another set of arms sprout in front of your face, each with a set of powerful claws, and you feel yet another pair of legs pop out of your sides. Your skeleton breaks through your skin, wrapping around your soft insides until you are covered in a hard, unyielding carapace. Frightened, you try to run and find the quickest way is to scuttle sideways. You have become a werecrab! Joining me today is Small Beans teammates, podcasters, crabs, and friends of the pod, and friends to crabs, Abe Epperson and Bridget Greenberg.
Hey!
Hey! Hey! Woo. Hey! I reject being a friend to crabs, but other than that, that's me.
I think you nailed it, Katie.
Thank yeah.
You. I was teleported. Absolutely yeah. Teleported.
Honestly, that's my new guided meditation. Mm.
We are become crabs.
Yes.
I bring up this story of becoming a crab, not just for the pure thrill of it, but because, guys, it's happening. It's happening all over. Everything is becoming crabs. And this is actually called carcinization. And this is the habit of evolution to keep making crabs over and over and over again.
Huh. Wait, you're talking, there's a term for when nature's just banging out crabs left and right?
Yes. This happens so frequently, it has a term, carcinization.
So that's just, it's like the evolution default is crabs?
Yes.
Evolution loves a crab. It loves a crab. Crab is the best form, apparently. So let me say this. There are many species of crab, but they all have a common ancestor and belong to the infraorder Brachyura, so that's pretty normal, right? Like you have a bunch of species of like mice,
right.
You have a bunch of species of butterfly. This is not what I'm talking about. There are many species of crab, but there are separate species of crustaceans that keep turning into crabs, even though they're not evolved from crabs. So,
oh, wait, that's so like down the like genus line of different species, it just all like goes back to crab?
Is that, I took biology, is that convergent or is that divergent?
Yes. Convergent evolution, you are correct.
Nice.
Divergent is that really good youth adult novel, young adult
yes.
novel,
young adult novel.
where the special girl gets to do the special things. But no, yes, convergent evolution of crabs from crustaceans. So crustaceans is a whole taxon of animals. It's got lobsters in it, hermit crabs, crayfish. There's a whole bunch of crustaceans.
Right.
But crustaceans keep reinventing the crab over and over again.
Yeah.
They're independently evolved crabs. Wow. And this has happened at least 5 times, probably more, but we've documented it happening at least 5 times. So these crabs look exactly like a crab. They behave very much like a crab. Sometimes they even have reproductive systems that are extremely crab-like, but they're actually more closely related to a non-crab ancestor than they are to true crabs. So they're technically not crabs, even though evolution is like, let's make you a crab again, though.
Wow, that is spooky. And also, now the end of the time machine makes more sense when everything was crabs mm-hmm. at the end.
Yes.
Now I get it.
Everything is crabs. I mean, to be fair, we're mostly talking about crustaceans turning into crabs. So it's a long shot from humans turning into crabs, although I will not rule out. Ruling it out.
Well, you know, a crescent moon comes out. You got a crab, baby.
That's what we call the pincer moon.
Yeah.
So examples of this happening is, first of all, king crabs, a crab we're all very well accustomed to. It's a crab that we love to eat. It's those big, spiky, reddish, orangish brown, long-legged crabs that, you know, you go to the store, you see a bunch of crab legs, these big old juicy crab legs. That's probably a king crab, and they actually are not really crabs. They just, you know, they're just going towards the crab singularity because they actually evolved from hermit crabs.
Which are not crabs.
They are not crabs.
They are not crabs.
So
hermit crabs are not a crab. They are called... naming of animals is all messed up. We'll call things that aren't things the things that they aren't. But, you know, hermit crabs are a crustacean, just not technically a crab. But
they just look like crabs. It's just another...
They look like crabs. It's one of those things where, I mean, it's kind of a funny distinction, right? Because, like, you have these crustaceans that are closely related to crabs, and then you have a lineage of them that all have a common ancestor, and we call those true crabs. Those are actual crabs. But then you have hermit crabs, which are related to crabs but are not crabs, then independently evolve into crabs again. And we say, like, that's not a real crab, even though it's basically exactly like a crab because it's independently evolved. So it's one of those, like, kind of picky taxonomy things. Yeah. Where it's like,
crab supremacy.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
The one true crab.
True crab.
It's all full of crabs.
10 minutes in, the word crab it already sounds weird to me now. Yeah. I've already lost the context.
Isn't there a name for that? There's a name for that when loses all meaning.
Yeah.
Crab.
Yeah. No, crab. It's done. The meaning has divorced itself from the word already. So
it's called semantic satiation.
Hey,
when
there it is.
You're like activating the neural pathway of that word so much, your brain just starts to feel weird about it.
So smart, Katie.
Yeah, that's how Stanley Kubrick directs. He tried to divorce. He made actors do takes so many times that
he was so mean.
He was awful.
Yeah,
he's so mean.
He's dictator.
He was a crab, I think.
He was.
Stan Crab Crabrick.
Crabrick. Stanley Crabrick. Yeah.
Yes.
He certainly was crabby. Okay.
Hey.
Podcast over. We lost everyone. Sorry.
We did it.
Shut it all down.
The showers. Let's go.
We've done it. We've ended the podcast. No. So another example of one of these, not exactly a crab, even though it looks exactly like a crab, is the porcelain crabs, which is a group of medium-sized crabs, and they're actually quite pretty. They can have really nice body patterns. Yeah. The spotted porcelain crab, I think, is particularly pretty. It kind of looks like it has a halftone print on their shell. Mm-hmm. It's kind of rusty reddish color. Yeah. It's very pretty. But they are not real crabs. They evolved from squat lobsters. Squat lobsters. Also, I'm so sorry, guys, but squat lobsters aren't even lobsters. This is how ridiculous it is. Squat lobsters are crustaceans that look a bit like flat, weird little lobsters, but they're technically not lobsters, even though they're sort of related to lobsters, but they're actually more closely related to crabs than they are to lobsters, but they are not crabs. But then they evolved into another crab, even though it's technically not a crab, even though it looks exactly like a crab. Does this make any sense at all?
It does. My question is, so what traits make a true crab?
A true crab is just you are in this evolutionary lineage where you have the common ancestor of all true crabs.
So there's no specific trait where you're like, that's a crab, that's not a crab, because they all look like crabs to me.
Right, exactly. It does get a little bit gray area of crabs where, you know, the sort of side to side movement, the big pincers and claws situated in front of the face and the legs sprawled out to the side in a vaguely sort of a squat triangular body. I think that all is sort of characteristic of a crab, even though it's not, that is not the definition of
that
a
is
crab.
Not it's just that. What a crab make.
Right. But, you know, it is, again, it's sort of, it's convergent evolution of like crab form. So these animals I'm describing, like the king crab and the porcelain crab, they look exactly like a crab. You would right. you wouldn't pick this thing up and be like, oh, it's almost like a crab. No, it's like exactly a crab.
Yeah, it's just little leggy rocks.
Yeah, the other one is the hairy stone crab, ooh. Which are ooh. Small crabs that can fit in your palm. I think they're kind of cute. They look like little rocks, and they kind of have these furry little filaments all over their body. And they may have either evolved from hermit crabs or like another freshwater crustacean. We're not sure where they come from, to be honest.
So
they could
cute.
Be aliens. They are very cute.
They are
little,
cute.
Little palm-sized crabs yeah. that are fuzzy. Another group of crabs that are technically not crabs, even though they look very much like crabs, ooh. Are coconut crabs, which we're actually going to discuss in detail later. They are horrifying terrestrial crabs, and they actually also evolved from hermit crabs. Very interesting crab-like animals, very scary. And then, of course, the other group of crabs that have evolved to look like crabs are the group of true crabs. Like, so there you have five. You have the king crab, you have the porcelain crab, the hairy stone crab, the coconut crabs, and then the true crabs, the real, the OG crabs.
I had a neighbor, Harry Stone, and that's all I can think of now.
Were they a crab?
No, they were a very, as you would expect, if you pictured a man named Harry Stone, was a very like religious Jewish man.
Right. Was he crabby?
I mean, he didn't leave candy out on Halloween.
Yeah. So, well, I've canceled the podcast twice with that pun. I don't know how I did it. I brought the podcast back from the dead to make the crabby pun again. Mm. Killing it twice, you know?
I mean, it's gonna come up and you can't leave it on the table.
You can't. I don't know if I'd get more complaints from not using the crabby pun or complaints for using it. So I'm going to go with what my heart tells me, and it's to hurt people by using the crabby pun.
Yeah, just
hey,
beat it.
Live your best life, man. You do you.
Actually, this whole episode is inspired by a tweet, which I love. Someone found out about carcinization. This is from Amy S. Pumpkins, which I think is just the spooky Halloween name, at CableNet Jumper, who writes, crustaceans have evolved into the shape of a crab at least five independent times. I do not like this. And so that's kind of a viral tweet. But in response to that, at Charlemagnum PI writes, the arc of the universe is long, but it bends towards crab.
Yeah. I like crabs. I like everything about crabs. Bridget, you don't like crabs. You were mentioning, right?
Yes, I've had several
crab encounters.
crab encounters, and none of them are positive. I don't know how many times you've interacted with crabs, Abe, but it's not great. One, I lost a friend's hermit crab, which is not a crab, so I no longer feel bad about it. Mm-hmm. She asked me to babysit them. I don't know why.
It's probably become a cryptid, like gotten huge and become a cryptid.
Oh, it still lives in that house for sure. But there were crabs everywhere growing up in Florida. They just are around.
Just pests.
And there was one. I think I've talked about this ad nauseum, but there was one that lived by my locker in high school.
This was a terrestrial crab, which I want to mention to the listeners. Yes. Land crabs exist. Crabs can be on land. There are a number of terrestrial crab species in Florida. Some can get quite large.
Yeah, they're big old crabs. And there was one, and he lived by my locker. And anytime I would have to like get my book super quickly because he was very territorial. I'm gendering this crab, but he was mean to me. Anytime it saw me, it would like run at me in the awkward tiny crab way with its pinchers up and try to get me. not cute. It bullied me. And then there are, if you like walk on grass in Florida, there are often just like crab holes. Like,
yeah, they dig like, burrows.
Yeah, they dig burrows. So especially if you have tiny child feet like I had when I was a tiny child, you would trip into these crab holes. And in Florida, we're wearing flip-flops and they would just go for your toes.
Yeah, give you a pinch. I mean, imagine if someone shoved their foot in your house.
Yeah, but, you know, my house isn't
Pinch them.
I'd pinch them, but my house isn't a trap for tiny child feet, you know? Mm. Also, I mean, on the Halloween theme, I remember very specifically one of these times I tripped into a crab hole. It was Halloween, and I was dressed as...
I hate tripping into a crab hole. Oh, yeah, wait, no, you're talking about actual crabs. Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, and I was dressed as SpongeBob, and the crab bit me. I was dressed as SpongeBob, and the irony was too strong, and yeah. I didn't like it, and it was very embarrassing, and it was very painful.
Bridget was bullied by crabs growing up. That's
they followed
that's
me.
Rough.
Yeah,
that's pretty rough.
I'm sad to hear that. I grew up in California. I've been in California my whole life, and so I don't have a lot of crab access. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I find my whole life I've found very ugly things super cute. Like, I love spiders. I want to smush those little faces.
Crabs are very spider-like.
I'll have to have you on an episode where I gush about how much I love jumping spiders.
I love them. I love so trapdoor spiders, too.
Oh, they're so cute.
They're so cute. I love the spider that fills... in San Diego, we had the one where it puts dirt on its face. Because it's scared of the world. It's great energy. I love spider energy.
Speaking of spiders, while I don't think that carcinization refers to this, I think it is interesting because the crab-like form happens outside of the taxon of crustaceans in spiders. So some spiders have evolved into a more crab-like shape, which is very inventively called crab spiders.
That's horrifying.
Named because... how their body layout is similar to a crab,
right,
including their leg placement and how they scuttle from side to side. Bridget's having a moment. A tough moment.
I don't know why that deeply disturbed me. I was looking at this thing before, kind of, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool looking. And now I don't like it. I don't like it. It's jointed legs. There's too many joints on the legs.
Well, that's normal spider stuff. It's just the arrangement of the legs is more crab-like, especially in terms of like the way that those front legs are kind of held out at its side and in front. So
it truly didn't bother me until you began describing it, and then I had a very visceral reaction to I hate this.
Yeah, it's pretty.
It is very pretty. This is actually a flower crab spider, which mimics a white flower to lure prey into a false sense of security.
Right.
It's a little thing. It's very tiny, about the size of like a thumbnail, maybe slightly bigger sometimes. But it's just arranged. It's hard for me to explain exactly, but it is arranged like a crab, but it is a spider. It's like you took a crab mold and put a spider in it and just like... pressed it in there and turned it into a crab.
It has the face of a Pokemon.
It looks like an orchid to me. I mean, I understand why they call it the lovely flower spider crab.
It's just interesting because, again, it's independently evolved these crab-like features because probably it's very useful for it to be able to quickly escape predators by scuttling from side to side, while being able to kind of pick up its prey with those front legs.
Pretty mammals with our two bipedal movement or, you know, with four legs. Let's kick it up a notch.
Right.
Well, you can just like start grabbing things in front of you like that.
Get a couple of those. Remember those like dinosaur grabbers where they were like on a stick and then you'd like squeeze a button and the little dinosaur grippy things would like grab things?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you guys know
what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Just get a couple of those and then crab walk around.
Yeah. Every night. This is me, 9 p.m.
Then you're man crab.
Yeah.
And that's how the evolutionary thing happens. The I almost said carcinogen, but that's not right.
It's carcinization. It's interesting.
Carcinization happens. Yeah.
The reason you're confusing it with carcinogen is cancer. The word for, the disease is also the same root word for crab, cancer.
Which is why is that? We think of them as a cancer upon the landscape.
Fun fact, I am a cancer, so this whole thing's coming full circle.
Oh.
Yeah.
You mean like your zodiac sign?
My zodiac sign.
Not that you're like being really rude towards yourself.
Mm. No, I'm not, doing that.
It's crab talk.
Okay, it comes from the Greek word meaning crab, which also means tumor. I wonder if it's because crabs are lumpy.
Yeah, and hard. That would make sense. So, yeah.
Maybe that's why. Etymologists and entomologists, get at me. Actually, entomologist doesn't really work because that's not necessarily...
Yeah, crabs ain't bugs. Crabs.
No, they ain't bugs.
Crabs ain't bugs.
Crabs ain't bugs. Crabs is not insects, even though they are both arthropods. I think it's charming that, like, well, charming and alarming, creepy, scary that these spiders are sort of like becoming more crab.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Another one is the green crab spider, which is green, shaped vaguely like a crab. And there is a photo of one of these guys. So their abdomens can have like brown and yellow and white and red colorations on them. And sometimes there's like variation in coloration. And this individual looks like it has a creepy clown face on its abdomen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to find any other green crab spiders with this same coloration. So this may just be a special
little boy.
Little boy who, or just like this is it. This isn't it, you know? Like how it becomes like clown spiders and this is just
it just becomes
that's true. Clown. Yeah. That's true. That's Pennywise becomes like a spider like.
Right.
Yeah.
This is sort of a tangent because this spider does not look like a crab. But if you want a spider that almost always has like a cool clown face on it, it is the Hawaiian happy face spider, and its abdomen has this happy face on it with a big smiling red mouth, two little dots for eyes, and then it looks like little slightly concerned eyebrows. I find it really cute. Like people are like, oh, it's creepy clown. I think it's kind of cute.
Yeah, that's super cute.
He kind of looks inviting and like ready to party.
I kind of like it. I mean, his face is actually his real face is on the opposite end. It just looks like when you look at it, he kind of looks like, hey, I'm ready to party.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like a party spider.
Right. And the back legs, which are kind of bent backwards, look like little arms kind of raising the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah. That spider could get me to take shots with it. I would take shots with that.
Think
spider.
Of how cute it would be if you were to take the two middle two legs on each side and just yank those right out of there.
Oh my god, what the hell?
Yeah, no. And then it would be like
you psychopath.
It would get him out of
like
there.
He's got like little hands and feet. It would be super cute.
It looks like a cartoon, like a drawing that I would make as a kid, like where you didn't really know how to draw a body, so it's just like arms, legs, face.
Yeah, exactly. It would be perfect.
I think it's cute with all its legs. Please leave them on.
I'm not gonna rip off legs of spiders.
You
I'm
monster.
Not, I'm team crab.
The real monster was Abe all along.
I'm team crab.
You're team crab. Getting back to crabs, one note is, you know why pubic lice are called crabs?
I was going to ask this question.
Yeah, pubic lice, they are little tiny arthropods that are, you know, they are a big nuisance. They get in your hair and cause a lot of itching and problems. They are shaped vaguely like a crab.
Huh.
It's a little bit of a stretch to me, but I see it. I see the crab shape of them, and that's why they're called crabs.
Because I would imagine they look like lice, which do not look like crabs.
No, they look pretty crab-like.
I was going to Google it on my own, but then
I'll
I got
do
scared.
It for you.
Yeah. You're very brave.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of got a little bit of the crab shape.
Yeah, I see it. I also don't like it because it looks like there's hair coming out of it, too. And
it's got bristles on it, which is always... Bristly bristles can be cute, but they can also not be cute. I think it depends on sort of the orientation and density of the bristle.
Yeah, you need a lot more for it to be cute.
I wish everybody could see the, because like the face part, I assume, of the crab. If If it's just that, it looks like a guy.
The pubic lice?
Yeah. Like extending his arms out. He's like, whoa! It looks amazing.
Well, I'll include a picture, a safe for work picture in the show notes of, of the pubic lice.
Yeah, the pubic lice got an involuntary twitch for me. It elicited that response, so I don't like it.
I think its name isn't doing it any favors either. But anyways, the point of all this is to say that nature loves a crab and loves a crab shape and keeps turning crustaceans and even some arthropods into crab shapes. And it makes me wonder, like, if there's aliens out there, maybe they too would prefer the ultimate form, the purest form, the best form, the crab form.
The crabiverse.
The crabiverse.
I mean, honestly, having an exoskeleton makes more sense than being soft on the outside.
But I mean, there are a lot of crustaceans that have a hard carapace. It's just that they seem to keep going into that crab shape. They love it.
I mean, more legs equals faster, right?
Again, though, Abe, like, they have this. It's not that they grow more legs. It's that this specific shape, this, like, sort of triangular sidestepper with the big claws in the front and the legs splayed out to the sides. Like, that is, they love it. They love the crab shape, this very specific crab shape.
It's so weird because crabs move so awkwardly and, like, kind of, like, clumsily. It doesn't seem like it's an easy way to move. They don't.
Right.
They're not agile.
Well, when you think about it, though, so crabs can move forward and backwards and diagonally, although not as easily as they can move from side to side. But if you think about it, like, if they're evading predators that move forwards and backwards mostly, and the crabs just zip off to the side, it's like they're playing like 4D chess. You know, they're like moving to the side when you're moving front and back. And
they're on a different plane.
Right. I mean, it's like what you always shout in horror movies when someone's like running away from like a giant boulder or a giant, like a tree falling down or an airplane or like a monster. It's like they're always running in a straight line when it's like, no, zigzag, like dart off to the side. Like, that's a legit strategy.
Yeah. It's a super awkward way of moving.
It works. Like, again, like if you're Indiana Jones and giant boulder is rolling towards you,
exactly.
Like, why run in a straight line? Run to the side. Ding dong.
Yeah, that is true. And we did learn in Florida public schools how to avoid gator attacks, and they don't have good peripheral vision. So you are supposed to, like, get around.
Crab walk away. Crab exactly. Walk.
So, you know.
Many maybe uses.
This is why I think that we should become crabs. Just putting it out there. We'll see.
We should.
I think by the end of this, I think I'll convert you into, you know.
Yes. Crab people?
Crab people, yeah, exactly.
One of us.
I've been bitten and I've been pinched enough times that, you know, I should have the DNA in me. Like,
that's how DNA
crab
works.
Woman.
That's
crab
how it
woman.
Works.
Your superpower is scuttling from side to side very fast and being able to pick things up and put them in your mouth with great ease.
Yes. I do shovel
Mega
food
pinch.
In my mouth like that.
And of course, the pinching.
And the pinching.
Carcinization isn't always skin deep. Crab-like crustaceans that evolved independently can share many things with crabs aside from looks, such as reproductive organ similarity and similarities in sexual dimorphism, that is, the defining differences between the males and the females. There can even be similarities down to the circulatory and neurological systems. If it crawls like a crab and like a crab, it isn't, in fact, necessarily a true crab. When we return, you may want to head for high ground to escape these monsters, but that won't help you escape our most horrifying land crabs! What are crabs covered in? Chitin, of course, an exoskeleton that protects and armors their soft bodies. Imagine if our skeletons were on the outside. Ooh, spooky skeletons!
So now that we know that the universe prefers a crab, let's talk about some crabs, some of the coolest crabs. Some of these are true crabs. Some of these are very crab-like crustaceans. But first, we're going to talk about terrestrial crabs. Your favorite kind, Bridget.
Yeah.
They can come on land and cuddle you with their panchers.
Yeah, they all up in my business.
So first, appropriately, let's talk about Halloween crabs. And that is exactly what they are called. They are called Halloween crabs.
Ooh.
And I love these little dudes so much. They are so cute.
They're so motley.
Yeah, they're cool.
They are very cool. They look like they come from Hot Topic or like what's the pop-up Halloween shop?
Oh, Halloween Spirit or
Halloween Spirit. It's yes. A very Hot Topic Halloween Spirit. These are land crabs found in mangrove and rainforests on the Pacific coast from Mexico to Panama. They are adorable, spooky little Halloweeny crabs. They have bright orange legs, purple claws, a black carapace with two spooky yellow spots on top. So like when you're looking at it head on, it looks like a jack-o'-lantern. Even though those yellow spots are not actually its eyes, it's got like these two yellow spots and then like a yellow spot in the middle. And so it looks like a jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah, it really does remind me of like Party City version of like getting a Halloween costume where they're like off-brand and the colors are wrong. Like they just threw a bunch of things together and said, yeah, that's a ghoul. That's a ghoul.
It's like a reverse jack-o'-lantern where the pumpkin is black and the eyes and mouth is orange.
And of course, the jack-o'-lantern's purple arms.
yes, of course. You can't forget about those. It's also, this is a very shiny picture, so I don't know if that's why, but it kind of looks like a balloon. Like it looks like one of those Mylar balloons.
Yes, yes.
Oh, I want to smush its face.
Like off-color Mylar balloon of a jack-o'-lantern. Like with someone made a printing error and inversed the colors. And like, and then I'm just realizing sort of its underbelly, like where actually its mouth parts are. That's all orange. And so it kind of, that part looks like a big grinning smile, like a jack-o'-lantern. Again, though,
an inverse
jack-o'-lantern with a big orange smile and then sort of yellow eyes and a yellow nose.
Yeah, that's fun. It's spooky. This is
very spooky, but spooky in a very cute way, sort of a Tim Burton spooky.
Yeah, very Nightmare Before Christmas kind of crab.
Yeah. And they are little tiny dudes, so they're pretty cute. They only grow to be a couple of inches big. They're about 5 centimeters big. And they just like to munch on vegetation found in leaf litter and burrow in little holes. So I think they're pretty cute. I feel like this would be a fun surprise. Like you trip over a Halloween crab burrow and it just like pops out and it's like, spook ya.
Yeah.
Yeah,
maybe gives you a little boop.
Boop.
Those are big claws, though. They are
relative to its body size.
Yeah.
I mean, remember, this is only a couple inches big. So
yeah,
it's going to be like one of those claws is maybe the size of a pinky. So yeah,
all right.
Not too bad.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
And they live completely on land and they only return to the ocean to breed, like a lot of terrestrial crabs.
Horny ass crabs.
Speaking of horny crabs, let's talk about Christmas Island crabs.
That's some real
Nightmare Before Christmas crab action going on.
That is a f**k island. I'm looking at a f**k island.
That's too many. I don't like when there are too many things. It could be anything. If there are too many, like even puppies, I'm just like, that's too many.
Let me explain to the listener why Bridget and Abe are having a meltdown here. Christmas Island crabs flood the land with a writhing living sea of crabs in their migration to and from the ocean during breeding season. So...
I didn't like the word writhing. I didn't like it.
But it's apt. It's apt.
Yeah.
So as adults, they grow to be about 5 inches, which is about 11 centimeters. They are bright red And they're called Christmas Island crabs because they live on Christmas Island and Cocos Island in the Indian Ocean. They are terrestrial crabs. They like to live in forests, and basically they will eat any organic material they find. It's often, again, like leaf litter, little organic bits, but they will eat, like, scavenge, like, dead bugs or dead rodents and stuff sometimes. They only return to the sea to breed, which they do in absolutely massive quantities. Millions and millions of them will go in a mass migration. They follow the phases of the moon to guide their annual migration back to the sea, usually in the fall or winter. And I think the reason for this is tides. Like, they want to get there at a good time for the tides, because if they're mating and releasing their eggs, they want it to kind of align all good with that. I'm not sure if that's true, but that would be my guess.
It's instinctual, kind of.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Or they're witches.
Or they're witches.
or they're witches.
Yeah. Or were-crabs. Again, we've established that were-crabs are real. Very real. Yes. It wouldn't really be a woo, would it? It would be
It would be like little... Clack, 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 clack.
Clickety clacks. Yeah.
Don't make that sound.
Yeah, this could turn into bad ASMR.
Crab ASMR. Welcome to my new channel, Crab ASMR.
And just get some tongs.
It's a binaural ASMR where I'm...
It's also...
Terrible.
These ones look like... These look very Sebastian-esque to me.
Yes.
Yeah, they're bright red.
Yeah.
Classic crab.
This is classic crab is what I'm saying.
Right, exactly. Like cartoon crab.
Yeah. Is this a true crab?
This is a true crab.
It really is crab classic.
Yeah, it's a Mr. Krabs kind of.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'd let this crab run my burger joint.
Yes. And so the spectacle of millions of crabs marching into the sea is... as incredible as you might think. It's a literal flood of crabs swarming the streets, the sidewalks, and crawling all over everything to get back to their ocean to have a giant crab orgy. roads have to be closed to protect the crabs, because, and I assume also your car, because, like,
yeah,
that you don't want to.
You don't want to run over a bunch of crab.
It's mostly to protect the crabs, but again, like, you don't want to run over, like, a bunch of crabs. That's no good. That's not good for the undercarriage.
I can pop a tire.
Yeah. That could pop a tire. And the crabs try to make this migration as quickly as possible so they don't dry out. Now, while crabs can live on land, they actually don't have lungs like a lot of terrestrial animals. They have gills that still require moisture for gas exchange to occur. So basically, as long as their gill slits are kind of moist, which I love talking about moist gill slits, wet-ass gill slits, then oxygen can sort of dissolve into the moisture around their gill slits, and they can breathe that in. And so they scuttle. They scuttle as fast as they can go. The migration can take a couple of weeks. Human activity has to heed and bear witness to all the crabs at this time. There is simply too much crabs to just go about business as usual. Once they're at the ocean, the males create burrows, and actually the males usually get there before the females. Am I right?
Hey!
Regressive crab humor! So that gives them extra time to build these burrows, and then the females will arrive, males kind of compete for the females, and then they mate inside the burrows, and then the females will stay there while the males return to the island. And the females stay in these burrows for a few days, protecting their eggs in a brood sac, and when they're ready, they will scuttle over to the ocean and do what looks like this sort of jiggly dance. With their, like, claws raised in the air, and they're just, like, shuddering dance. And that's actually to deposit their eggs into the ocean. And there's a lot of eggs and a lot of crabs doing this at the same time. So you can probably imagine what that looks like. Just a lot of eggs.
I think I decided what the party crab was too soon.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a spider. I mean, we got a party spider, and these are the party crabs.
Can you imagine if, like... that's how we gave birth. And you're just like at a party, like baby, 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 baby.
Honestly, I would prefer that. I think from what I've heard, right? Yeah,
just shooting babies out, just being like, look how far, like, go long, I'm gonna shoot this baby out.
From what I understand of birth, that seems like a more pleasant experience.
That seems fun. Yeah, I like that. But the females will also return to the island once they have laid their eggs. And I always love an animal that's not similparous, meaning it these do not just breed once. It's kind of nice that they go on this adventure, lay their eggs, and then they go back to their lives. Like, it's always sad to me when there's, like, a big spawning event. Like, with salmon, there's a huge spawning event, and then the salmon just die. It just seems really tragic to me. So these crabs, though, they last a good amount of time. So they'll return back to the island.
Yeah, they just, like, smoke a cigarette, get back to work. The collective island, just a huge waft of smoke comes up.
There are so many pictures of crabs holding cigarettes, and it's sad because it's litter, but it is funny.
It's
because
funny
it's a
every
crab
time.
It's every time. It's hilarious.
It's I mean, these are truly, they have like, I like that they have like a month off work to go party on the island.
They do a little dance.
Make
a little love.
Yeah, parental leave.
They have a big orgy. It's awkward because they probably run into some of their crab coworkers at the orgy.
Oh, yeah.
But,
what happens at the Christmas Island crab orgy stays at the Christmas Island crab orgy.
It's crab rumspringa, but it happens once a year.
And just think about, like, how dense this area is. Like, so you're f***ing, and you, like, look over and you're like, oh, hey, what's up, Dave?
they do actually breed inside the burrows, so there's a little bit of privacy there.
So, nice. All right, well, good.
But they lay their eggs all together, so it's like, you know, it's just like, hey, girl, and then just like splorching out a bunch of eggs.
Yes, the propriety of crabs.
big birthing party.
So story over, right? You got your mating, your mass migration.
Sure.
Story just beginning.
Oh, no.
When there's a mass mating event, and these are terrestrial crabs, what happens to the babies, you guys? What of the babies?
Seagulls.
The many millions and millions of babies.
Think of the children.
Yeah, actually, a lot of them will get eaten. That, you know, all's fair in mass mating.
Yeah.
A lot of them will survive, and they actually go through larval stages in the ocean, and after about a month, they return to the shore, molting into tiny crabs, just little itty bitty baby crabs, about 5 millimeters big, real itty bitty, about the size of like a thumbnail. And these little babies begin a mass migration to the island. And I mean, there's something about like when you see the mass migration of the adult crabs, it's like, okay, yeah, like a bunch of crabs. There's something, I guess, a little bit weird about it, a little maybe intimidating. But with the baby crabs, it is just a carpet of millions and millions of bright red itty-bitty crabs. And it's hard to even tell what you're looking at. It just looks like a furry, giant furry moving carpet flooding down like storm drains and crawling over sidewalks. And I remember this video of this like little kitty sitting on the sidewalk scooping up baby crabs and like trying to, like, it was like trying to eat them, but I think it just got so overwhelmed. It was like staring at this red sea of baby crabs, and the cat, I could tell, was having an existential crisis.
I am just one.
I imagine the Indiana Jones and the ants scene in the Crystal Skull one, where they just devour everything that they just walk through.
Right, they, just leaving behind shell of a city.
Yeah, because you said they're like millimeters, so if there's millions of them and they're like walking over each other, it's just, like you said, like a wave of crab.
Fortunately, they're mostly focused on reaching the forest so they can kind of hide under the leaf litter and get some moisture and get some security. A lot of them will die on the journey, unfortunately. They can skeletalize a cow. No, I'm kidding. They can't do that. Actually, speaking of ants, the real horror story is that there are these things called yellow crazy ants that, I mean, that's just like literally their name. And they are an invasive species on these islands, and they are actually threatening the crab population. Although this may be a case where there's just so many crabs that there's just no way that the ants can win, which so I'm rooting for the crabs. When it's crab versus ant, I root for the crabs.
Yeah. That's ants fair. Are kind of OP, to be honest.
Yeah.
For biomass, man, ants, you can't beat them.
Yeah, their organization is scarier than these baby crabs. But this baby crab, it's like a reverse sea turtle.
Yeah.
They're doing the opposite.
I like that.
That's actually, I like that too. They're like reverse sea turtles. And to me, honestly, just as cute. Maybe more intimidating. A threatening aura because of how many they are.
It's quite
cute also.
I went to watch sea turtles hatch when I was a kid, and I was like, no, that's too many. We gotta go. We gotta pull out.
Pull the plug.
I know they're real cute, and I'm wishing them all the best. But
rooting for you, but
there are too many of you, and it's like little zombies coming out of the ground, and like.
Part of me, this sounds weird, I understand, but part of me just like wants to lie down in the path of these Christmas Island crabs and let them crawl all over me be like, I'm covered in little crab puppies.
Because they got like, they've got a plan. You're not a part of their plan, so they're probably not going to do anything.
I might get little pinchies from like little baby crabs, but whatever. They're not going to hurt me.
You're right, it is a little intimidating. I'm looking at the top image that you're showing, and there's a kind of a retaining wall that they're keeping them away from the street so that the crabs don't get run over by cars. But you can tell in the distance, crabs are climbing on top of crabs on top of crabs get in.
It's like that scene in World War Z where all the zombies are climbing on top of each other, and they're actually people that have to like sweep the crabs off the road both for the crab safety and for to allow cars to pass. So it's just like sweeping all these crabs off just very casually.
Yeah, it's like cane toads in Australia.
Oh, cane toads though, those aren't cute at all. I have a grudge horrifying. Against cane toads because they're an invasive species that threatened the beautiful quoll. Anyways, that's another episode. Actually, we did that in an invasive species episode, so check that out to find out why cane toads are such a nightmare.
Fascinating story. Yeah.
Speaking of nightmares, though, while Christmas Island crabs have sheer numbers on their side, coconut crabs are uncomfortably chunky and big.
No.
Oh, hell yeah.
No.
Hell yeah.
I don't like
that's that. That's awesome.
There is a picture of a coconut crab on a trash can, and it's like
it's a trash can
around
size.
This trash can. Yeah, it's like the size of a trash can lid.
Hell yeah. This thing is a beast.
Horrifying.
Now, I actually mentioned this crab earlier talking about carcinization because these are not true crabs. They are evolved from hermit crabs. And boy, did they evolve because they are big ol'.
Yeah, that's not, that's not chunky. What I remember of my friend's hermit crab that I lost.
Oh man, they look like face huggers, but like.
Yeah. Oh like, yeah, they do look like face huggers.
They look like face huggers, but like, imagine a face hugger that's like maybe six times the size.
Yeah.
Of your face, yeah.
Head crabs from Half-Life 2 or in Half-Life 1, I suppose, too.
Mm-hmm.
The Half-Lives. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so these are found on coastal habitats and islands across the Indian Ocean and Pacific Ocean. They are the largest terrestrial arthropod in the world. They have these big, hard shells in colors ranging from brown to burgundy to blue, kind of mottled with some like lighter colors. It'd be kind of pretty if they weren't, you know, so horrifying
massive,
looking.
Yeah.
So yeah. Big.
If they weren't about like six times too big.
Yeah. And it's not just their size. It's like they look beefy.
Yeah.
They're heavy. Yeah. They are muscular.
Do you know how much like one of these would weigh on average?
They weigh up to about 9 pounds, which is 4 kilograms, and they reach a span of about 3 feet from foot to foot, so that's about 1 meter.
That's a big human baby.
That's a big human baby. Also, don't leave your human babies around these.
No.
Or a tiny dog. But they're so flat to the ground. That's what's misleading about the weight and the length.
They're kind of like Yeah, there's something. It's uncomfortable. It's an uncomfortable looking animal. They are hunky and chunky and ready to rumble. Mm-hmm. They actually, Darwin just called them monstrous.
Yeah, it makes sense.
They have giant meaty claws, just big, 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 wow, big claws. They, like other land crabs, they are scavengers, and they'll basically scavenge on anything. Fruits, leaves, dead bodies.
Oh my
yes. God.
That's the worst thing you could have said.
Yes.
They will eat carrion. They're also called robber crabs because they love to steal things that they find on the ground, scuttle off with it, and like possibly eat it. Sometimes they kill live birds if the bird makes is sense. Not fast enough and slowly eat them alive.
Or if
that's
they
just
look
a
at
side
them weird.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys can bully most things in the animal kingdom.
They're pretty bro-y.
Well, their claws are so beefcakes
that
they have incredible force with a grip of 300 newtons, which is 10 times stronger than a human's grip.
Yeah.
They can literally break bones with this grip.
Oh,
they can, and that's how they can eat dead bodies like carrion and just like crunch the bone. In fact, there's a conspiracy theory that coconut crabs dismembered Amelia Earhart's body after she died.
They are the enemy.
This is based on, there was a badly fractured and dismembered skeleton found on Nikumaroro Island near where she had crashed. It's impossible to know this is true, but it's just speculated, like, if she died there and coconut crabs who live there, like, came across her body, they could potentially dismember her and carry off her body parts and eat them, which may be why, like, different parts of the skeleton are found in different places and seems to be badly fractured.
Do you guys know the actor Michael Chiklis?
Yeah,
no.
Of course.
He's from The Shield.
The Shield, yes.
Or the, you know, The Thing. The original
He's a beefy, bald-headed guy.
He looks like this crab.
He does.
The Michael Chiklis of the Crab Kingdom.
Yeah.
Baby coconut crabs are actually kind of cute. They really show you how they evolved from hermit crabs, because when they're small like that, they actually hide in land snail shells until they grow big and strong with hard carapaces and claws so that they can, at that point, defend themselves. But when they're little babies, they just kind of look like hermit crabs.
It always comes back to snails on this podcast, doesn't it?
Something so endearing about animal kingdom, like the co-opting of, like, well, I'm just gonna, like, how opportunistic but cute.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I found a little thing, and it's like, you know, the shell of a different thing, but that's my house now.
Right. why grow your own shell when you can lease it?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
My friend's hermit crabs, she painted one like Mr. Krabs. And we were just like waiting for it to move into the Mr. Crab shell, and it never wanted to.
It was very finicky.
Yeah,
crafty crab.
They will inspect these shells, make sure it's the right dimensions. Like, if you own a hermit crab, you should probably actually give it a few shells to choose from.
Yeah, it never chose the one we wanted it to choose.
I actually had a hermit crab as a kid, and one time it crawled up into my armpit, pinched me. And refused to let go. And I was actually near tears because I wanted to get it out of my armpit.
Yeah.
And I could have just ripped it off, but I was scared of hurting its little arm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, I guess it lives in my armpit. No.
It was testing out the specs of your pit.
Yeah,
like it was thinking of maybe like moving in there. Like that's its new home is my armpit, and I become like half girl, half hermit crab
house. Not hermit crab, but hermit crab house.
It was just, give me the food, little girl.
Yeah.
We shall become one unit, and you shall listen to what I say.
You got your little own, like, armpit Quado.
I just, like, it's, like, drags along my body like a big shell. It's a real, real Junji Ito style horror.
Yeah.
You think you can...
I like that reference.
One of these coconut crabs, they edible? You get a lot of meat off that.
I think they are, and I've heard they're actually quite good tasting.
Because that's a lot of meat. You get like a good bang for your buck.
Because I've heard coconut crab, but I'm trying to remember if it's an actual coconut crab or just crab meat mixed with coconut.
Yeah, it's could go either way, honestly.
I assume they're called coconut crabs because, like, there's especially they're in their, like, I guess thorax area, their body, their main bulk. There's like two bulbous, like, coconut looking things.
Yeah. Actually, it is eaten in parts of Southeast Asia and the Pacific Islands and is considered to be quite tasty. So there you go.
What happens to a dead body when it's dumped in the ocean? Well, gets devoured, of course, by a variety of creatures and especially crabs. They like to pick dead flesh off of cadavers that sink to the bottom of the sea. Think about that next time you enjoy some soft-shelled crab. When we return, we'll discover all kinds of creepy crawlies that like to chomp on cadavers deep under the sea. So, you're running away from Freddy, Jason, and Michael Myers, and you're doing it underwater. Well, you're in a tough spot, and oh no, they've got your arm! Well, no sweat, you're a porcelain crab, and you can just pop your arm right off. You can grow a new one, and you'll leave your pursuers bamboozled. This is a trick other crabs can do as well, but porcelain crabs are the masters of disarming themselves. Of course, who knows if this technique will save you from the terrifying sea monsters we're now going to discuss. So we've talked about how the arc of the universe bends towards crab. We've talked about land crabs. Now let's go back into the water and talk about marine crabs that are spooky Halloween crabs. Spooky crabs, like the Little Mermaid, but the Little Mermaid is dead and all her friends are skeletons.
And Sebastian is eating her.
Yeah.
Sebastian. Eat the girl. It's like in The Corpse Bride where she has her little friend animal is the little maggot inside her skull and it like pops out of her eyeball. Exactly. It's like that, but it's like a crab eating Ariel's brains. Yeah, I love that. I'm super into that. Yeah. Very cute. First, let's talk about the Yeti crab. Yeah.
So this is
very appropriately named.
Yeah, it's big Yeti arms. It's like Sully from Monsters Inc. as a crab.
Yeah, it's a white crab with these big old hairy Yeti arms, and its legs are hairy. Its carapace, the rest of its body, is actually not hairy, so it makes those hairy arms even more interesting looking.
It's They're like so long. I'm forgetting the name, but like the Chiquitita banana lady who like comes out and she has like the big puffy arms.
Oh, the big like arm ruffles. Yeah. It looks exactly like the Chiquita banana lady.
Exactly.
In everything else other than the
arms.
But
like if she was a crab.
And, if she like, was a crab. Yeah. Sure.
Put a little fruit platter on his head.
These are found in the depths of the South Pacific Sea on the ocean floor at about 2,200 meters below, which is about 7,200 feet. I got a surprise for you guys.
Do you have a crab with you right now?
Am I going to like it or am I going to hate it?
I don't know. But you guys, this is, again, not a real crab.
Oh.
Twist.
Bamboozled it's again.
You're giving us false crabs.
The universe pumping out more crab-like evolution. So this is a crustacean. It is a decapod. It's its own family of weird hairy-armed decapods related to, again, the squat lobsters, which are not lobsters. Squat lobster. Squat lobster.
That's all I can think about is
squat lobster.
Sometimes it's also called a Yeti lobster, although to me it looks more like a crab. Yeah. But it's neither a crab nor a lobster. They are mostly blind, it seems. Their hair on their arms are actually filaments covered in bacteria, which may detoxify water that comes from thermal vents. So it's like they've got their own Brita filters on their arms.
Hell yeah. Nature rules.
That's pretty cool. I didn't like it when you said bacteria, but then when it said filter, I was like, okay.
Right. These are helpful bacteria because, like, the water coming out of these thermal vents can have, like, toxic minerals in it. And then these, like, arms, like, help filter it out before it reaches their gill slits.
This is also the crab that I would want to bring to, like, a protest because they would, like, extend their arm up, you know, and you'd see it from afar.
Yeah, they got real long arms.
Yeah.
I feel like these are kind of spooky, but in the same way that, like, Yetis and Sasquatches are spooky, where it's, like, sort of a threatening aura, but also I kind of want to hug them.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got big, long arms for hugs.
They got big, fluffy arms full of helpful water-purifying bacteria to hug me with, and I like it.
Yeah. Comfortable, safe arms.
Right. And that's the last cute crab I think we're discussing today, you guys. Because now we're going to talk about Japanese spider crabs.
Oh, boy. I'm so
scared. I've seen these before.
I'm scared to scroll down.
These are some spooky crabs.
Oh, my God. I'm so
sorry. You see a tiny man holding a normal-sized crab. Nope, it's a normal-sized man holding a giant crab.
Oh, those noises that came out were involuntary. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It's good. This is why I brought you on, Bridget, is because I remembered this conversation we had when you were like, oh, man, crabs, they bullied me. And I was like, you know what? Let's exploit that trauma for the podcast.
Yeah, it's bringing up a lot.
Bridget's used to this, though.
Yeah.
You're almost always, exploiting. I feel bad for you.
I painted myself into this corner. I did warn you,
and I actually did directly tell you, like, I want you on because I know you hate crabs, and we're going to talk about crabs.
I did not expect you said yes.
So.
I did, because I was like, I'm not scared of them. I've just had a lot of bad interactions with crabs. And it turns out, no, I don't like them.
So this is actually a true crab. And it is the biggest, longest-legged arthropod in the world. So they got big ol' gams. Do those legs go all the way up?
Yep,
they certainly do.
I want like a team like a buddy cop movie between a coconut crab and a Japanese spider crab.
Oh God!
Yeah,
legs in the chunk man.
Yeah, exactly. There you got it. See, you should pitch that. Yeah. Legs in the chunk man.
It's like legs. We gotta.
They both got cigarettes.
And Legs is like, let's go after him. Yeah. He talks like that. Who was that guy in, he was like in Alice in Wonderland, the voice, oh, I forgot.
Johnny Depp.
No, the old one. The old Disney one. Edwin. Yeah. That's the voice I imagine for the spider crab. Just like, hello.
Anything with like super long legs, he just immediately.
Excuse me while I walk over here.
Doot.
Yeah.
It's like I imagine it kind of spookily crossing the ocean floor with the soundtrack of da 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 da.
It's always doing the like WB frog thing. It needs a little top hat to.
And then it cuts to the coconut crab, and it's just like.
I mean, this is like the Jack Skellington of crabs, right?
It really is.
So their leg to leg span reaches up to a little over 12 feet, 4 meters. They can weigh up to about 42 pounds, 19 kilograms. They are found off the coast of Japan's Honshu Island in the deep ocean at about 50 to 600 meters, so 160 to 200 feet. They are big and spooky, but they are actually described as non-aggressive and have what's called a gentle disposition. Like, you know, again, like Jack Skellington. It's like, this is Crab-a-ween, Crab-a-ween, Crab-a-ween. Here to pinch you with my legs.
Bridget, imagine the dunks that this...
I know. That's,
crab
this is,
could do.
It has like a Dwight Howard wingspan.
Right. Yeah. Crab skip ball.
Yeah. No, there's
it
no
could launch it. Itself up and just dunk there,
I mean, it
all
could
day.
Stand at like the half court line and just lazily reach over.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a Monstar that's kind of like that, right?
Yeah. The Sean Bradley Monstar, the blue one.
That's right.
But yeah, like there's just no, you know, it just puts its little arm up and it's just a defensive monster. It's just Mutomboing everybody.
It's
Mutomboing. Can you imagine giving like a high five? You just like high five. Yeah. It's like sure.
Yeah. Doesn't even need to move. Yeah, that's dope. This is
there's something about it though being gentle that
yeah.
Creeps really me cute. Out a little bit. Like if these were aggressive, I'd be like, yeah, these are like, you know, ocean monsters. But because they're gentle scavengers, just like daintily picking at things with their long, long, spindly legs, there's something. It's just like,
it's
like,
worse.
What are they waiting for?
Yeah, worse because it makes you feel like it's gonna come out and touch you. Like it's gonna like pet your face gently, and that's worse.
It's like in Split when James McAvoy.
McAvoy.
Yeah. goes from being, you know, like a monster to being a sweet person, being like, I have made you a sandwich.
It's so unsettling.
Yeah.
Because you know it can kill you.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think these guys, to be perfectly honest, don't think that these can kill you. Even though they have really long, spindly legs, their claws are kind of dainty.
Take one of these.
You can split it. The minute I reach out, like, the breakable bones.
By the way, for every single crab that you've shown us today, Katie, I've in my head said, like, I could take this. I could take this crab.
Not the coconut crab.
Not the coconut crab.
That could, like,
I don't know.
My money's on that coconut crab.
It has a grip 10 times that of a human, Abe.
Yeah. I hear you. but I don't know. I'm crafty.
Hear you, but I think I could do it.
I could invent a tool.
We can set this up. Let's set it up.
Cage match.
Put your claws where your mouth is.
Yeah,
there you go.
So the Japanese spider crabs are omnivorous scavengers. They'll basically eat anything they can pick up with their long, spindly claws, which is great. I love that. And sometimes they camouflage themselves by picking up sea sponges and other sedentary organisms and put them on their carapace to sort of like blend in more with their environment, which again, just imagine one of these guys like, just gonna pick this up with my long leg, gonna pick it up with my really, really long leg, gonna put it on this my creepy body. Now I look like a sea sponge, I'm dressed up.
How does this thing think it blends in? It's like a tripod. It's like so unlike any formation that you'd see in the ocean.
It's gotta be. Yeah, it's so big. It's not working, buddy.
It probably uses the camouflage more when it's younger and more vulnerable.
Sure.
But I do love the idea of just one of these massive adults still in the habit of doing this, picking up a tiny sea sponge and being like, just gonna put this on my body.
No one will know. I'm practically invisible.
It's also got these pinchers that are perfect for like bringing into frame a top hat.
My God, I don't like
placing,
it.
Placing a top hat. Yeah,
good
it
day.
Does. It does. It does make you're kind of right about the sociopath thing. Like, I do think that maybe it's got like a family kidnapped in the basement.
Yeah,
because it's too nice if it's got a gentle disposition, as you said. Just gonna haunt your dreams.
Gets close enough and just like tickles you and scampers away. But it's just so threatening.
I don't understand how this thing moves either. Is it like scuttering or is it taking like big long strides?
Long, smooth strides.
That was what I was hoping you wouldn't say.
Our crab legs, you might know this, Katie, because you know this is your podcast. Do spider legs and crab legs work similarly?
Well, spider legs use hydraulics mostly to move, whereas I think crab legs actually have muscle in them to move.
Yeah.
So not exactly.
Because I know that when a spider dies, like it crumples.
It curls up because of the...
That's how it naturally like wants to be.
Well,
right
because like it's essentially the spiders are moving with hydraulics where... You have these fluids inside the leg changing pressure, and that helps the legs to move.
Mm-hmm.
But I think crabs actually rely more on muscle to move.
It's fascinating that it still can achieve from an exterior same kind of, look. to me, yeah. to my eyes. Yeah, because they have like the joints like that, and yeah, they develop the same similar number of legs.
Spiders do have muscles. They just, I think they rely more on hydraulics than crabs do, whereas okay. crabs rely more on the muscle.
Cool. Thank you for that. Now You're I know welcome. About crab legs.
Now, I've shown you all these crabs, some terrifying and stuff, but I've actually liked all of them. Like, I'm sort of one of these people who just, like, I'll love it, pretty much any animal. We're getting to the crab that actually scares me.
Oh, no.
And this is not, it's not the biggest crab. It's not the hairiest crab. It's just the worst crab.
Oh, no.
It's the worst thing to look at.
Oh, boy.
This is called the arrowhead crab.
I haven't scrolled down yet. I'm so scared.
Yeah, it's hideous.
It is found in the Atlantic Ocean from Carolina to Argentina. They live in coral reefs. So again, like, they're not like a deep sea crab. They're not hair. There's nothing that like tips you off. Like, this is going to be the spookiest crab in the ocean until it walks into frame and you're like,
it's all
haunted.
Legs. It's all
haunted. They're
daddy 90% long legs.
90% horrible legs and 10% horrible, weird little body. They look like you took an umbrella, removed all the fabric,
yes.
and
yeah.
just lit those weird spindly umbrella wires. I'm not really sure what they're called. The spokes, like the spokes of the umbrella. But they're alive and they scamper around.
Yeah, and if it was made of bones, like very thin mm-hmm. bone, mm-hmm. I don't...
You know that scene in Coraline where the other mother's hand, that like mechanical hand gets cut off?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like shaped like a spider, but like made out of umbrella spokes. Like, it's like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah, it's
crab.
Bad.
I want to see this thing move because my favorite, I wish it just jumps and spins.
You're in luck, Abe, because
yeah.
I have included links to YouTube videos. I'll also include these in the show notes.
Yeah.
If you guys would like to see, the first one is actually of an arrowhead crab molting, which is probably the worst thing I've ever seen.
Nope.
The other one is just one of these
yeah.
little scamps scuttling around a reef, having a good old time. But let me continue to explain what these look like to the listeners. So their legs are long, thin, and spindly. They're not actually that big. It's just the proportion of the legs to the body. So they do actually look a lot like giant daddy long legs. Their legs grow up to be about 4 inches or 10 centimeters long. But again, it's like their legs are so long and their body is so tiny compared to their legs. It just looks like a horrible alien umbrella spider. But speaking of their body, their bodies are bad to look at as well, because their carapace is shaped like a weird triangle, and their rostrum, which is basically the beak of a crab. When you think of a rostrum, like, you know how like shrimp have that face and then like the head kind of like comes to a point?
Yeah.
That's like that little beak part is like the rostrum.
Yeah.
But that grows really long, like this big unicorn horn on top of their heads that is serrated like a tiny saw. And it's bad to look at.
It's bad, guys. It's bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
So to catch you up to speed, it is like an underwater umbrella spider with big spindly legs, a tiny triangle body, and a unicorn horn with a saw on it.
A nightmare.
Which
it's a nightmare.
Is cool. It's a nightmare. In terms of colors, they kind of have pretty colors. Their legs are typically orangey red, and their dainty little pincers at the tips of their long spindly claws are blue or purplish. So yeah, kind of pretty. Other than the shape. The shape is bad. The shape looks like you broke all the sliders in like a crab character creation and you just turned all the sliders up to nightmare, like broke it. It's like you broke the crab. The crab is just, it's all wrong. It's legs are too, there's just too much legs.
Yep.
Too much of a weird horn on it.
Yeah, there's not a color this thing could be that would make me feel comfortable.
Right. Regardless, people keep them as pets for some reason.
Oh my god.
Hell yeah.
Maniacs.
People are maniacs. Yeah.
In fact, one of these videos that I'm showing you guys, I think it is someone who owns one of these things and Thank you so much for videotaping your pet molting. It's a great addition to YouTube content.
I love the part where you can see it hollow its legs out of the...
Yeah, that's a fun... That's a always molting is one of those things, like when you watch a spider molt and it kind of peels itself out of its old exoskeleton. It's a little unsettling.
Yeah.
This times a billion just because of how long those dang old legs are.
It just keeps going.
They just,
Also, like, I mean, I'm, you know, personifying crabs a little too much, but like, or anything that molts, but molting feels like a very intimate thing. I don't want it being filmed. You know, it feels private and personal.
I generally agree, but for some reason, these crabs to me look like perverts.
Yeah, they're molt exhibitionists for sure.
No, this the crab likes it, but you know,
yeah,
it's like it's singing a little burlesque song, like da 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 da,
just taking off its very long glove.
Yeah, exactly. See, whenever
you like what you see,
you like what you see, weirdo. All the weirder animals, what I always do in my head is I think of like, what would the voice be if this was like a Pixar animation?
Yes, of course.
And the second one, the second image that you sent us, because it, we never get, that's the closest up we see of its actual like face. And it's like, I just imagine, I imagine like a very snooty French guy.
The little hermit crab in Finding Nemo, Jacques.
Exactly. But this, because his eyes are like very, I don't know, maybe it's also he's, the way he's, I don't know why, I always imagine crabs with cigarettes.
Voulez-vous coucher with my mini long, terribly long legs?
I'm wise as my legs are long. These things are hideous. I do like daddy long legs, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind those.
But the thing is, imagine it being big and then it's scary. Both the daddy long legs and the this crab, the triangle crab. Because it's just like, or sorry, not triangle crab, the arrowhead crab. Because imagine this thing just dominating the skyline.
Yeah, you know it's what I very mean? Just, War of the Worlds.
It's like like it's a misty day and you can't hear it too much because it's like got such spindly legs that when they impact the ground, they don't actually make that much noise, but just suddenly you start to see this long silhouette of this big spindly thing.
I think you're thinking of The Mist. I think there's the Stephen King, Frank Darabont film. Because I think there is a, there's a, like, an organism that comes from a mist that's, like, very much looks like one of these things.
Interesting. The crab mist.
Yeah.
It's all crabs.
Yeah. It's all crabs, baby.
It's all crabs. I really want, I know it might be hard to achieve this, but the kids on the internet, they love to create new cryptids. Mm-hmm. And right now, I think, like, it used to be, like, Slenderman, but we're, like, over Slenderman, which I get. He's old news. But, and now it's, like, Siren Head, which is, like, a big spindly thing with, like, a siren for a head that, like, does creepy siren noises. And I love that. Could we get, like, a giant terrestrial spindly crab cryptid going? Get that going in the chat.
Yeah, that is creepy. Because anything that, like, I mean, and that was the creepy thing about any of these crabs with really long legs. Like, anything that you imagine, like, just reaching out and slowly, like, touching you.
Right. The feel of its leg on your skin is not a good imagination station, to be honest.
No, and, like, whenever you see those, like, super long legs, it's all I can think of it. Right. Like, it just slowly reaching out and, like, touching your face very gently.
In a sort of slow, smooth motion. Like, because jerky motions can be creepy, but somehow, like, slow, spindly motions can also be really creepy. Yeah, it is worse, I think. I agree.
Yeah.
So if any of you guys out there, like, are in charge of the ghost, internet ghost stories, the creepypastas, like, I don't know who runs that. I don't know who's the CEO of Creepypasta.
But get these crabs.
Guillermo del Toro, actually.
Google arrowhead crab or check out the link of a picture that I've included in the show notes. And please turn that one into it because it haunts my dreams.
Get on these crabs.
I'm scared of one like crawling, like feeling a tickle in my throat, and then this thing just crawls out of my face.
Awful. Yeah.
You have cool dreams.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really great.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are for you, though. I don't want them.
Yeah. I hope if the universe arcs towards crab, like if we all become crab form someday, I hope it is in the shape of like Yeti crab or Christmas Island crab or Halloween crab, one of those little cuties, and not the Arrowhead crab, please. Yeah.
I couldn't live with myself, but I am like pretty jacked, so I am worried I'm going to be a coconut crab.
Let's talk about what our crab sonas would be. Bridget, 100% coconut crab.
Yeah, I'm pretty big and imposing.
I feel, Abe, you would be the Halloween crab.
Yeah.
I'd be the Halloween crab? Yeah, I was feeling the porcelain crab or the little...
Oh, porcelain crab is good too, yeah.
Like the mud, the little muddy one?
Oh, yeah, or no, you're totally right.
The stone,
I take it back.
Crab.
You are definitely the stone crab.
Yeah, I'm the stone
crab. Hairy stone crab.
Yeah, the hairy stone crab.
What crab do you guys think I would be?
I think it's the happy face spider.
The happy face spider.
The happy face spider.
Yeah,
Not really a crab.
Were any of them crabs?
Yeah, a few of them.
Some of them were crabs, this was definitively a spider. But yeah, not a crab, but I guess I still appreciate being the happy face spider.
Because I've always thought of you as like you have a very cheery persona, but I am constantly scared you're going to eat me.
Well,
I'm going to give you flower spider crab.
Oh, right. Flower spider crab. Again, a spider. I like how you're
again
both
a
like,
spider.
You can't be a crab because you are definitely a billion spiders in a people suit, which,
we all
you
know.
I won't argue against it. I think at this point, everyone already knows.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm flattered with both of those, actually. I do think I have like a friendly aura and then... But you're also a little worried because then I keep getting arms keep coming out.
Yeah, they just keep coming.
Look, what I like about the flower spider crab, it also has like the ends are red. So it's like your red hair.
Right, exactly. My beguiling red hair and then my horrible chelicerae.
Exactly. Look, none of these are good.
Well, we've done it. We've become crab.
We are crab.
As the universe wants us to be, apparently.
Order is restored.
Right. I know that they're like, oh, the universe entropy is the ultimate destination of the universe. I disagree. I think
crab is
the ultimate. It's like crab. Stephen Hawking is like the universe is going to cool down and spread out. I think the universe is going to crab out.
Well,
to be honest,
H.G. Wells said it's just going to be all horseshoe crabs. So
it's going to be all horseshoe crabs. It's going to be crabs.
Awful. Also
we're going to live
awful.
On. We're gonna live on crabs, we will be crabs, and we will breathe crabs.
I, for one, will clack for my crab overlords. Clack, 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 clack.
Look, I would go to the party island with the millions and millions of crabs.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
Pinch me, I must be dreaming.
Yeah. Oh, man, they hear that way too often.
They're saying, they're like, what else you got? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining me for this very special Crabbyween Halloween
Crabbyween. Yeah.
Thank you, Katie.
Yeah, thanks
Pinch your treat. Pinch your treat. I know it's a weird Halloween for everyone, so I feel like creating this new tradition of Crabbyween, you know.
It works.
Here we go. It works. It works.
We're going to roll with it and we're going to see where it goes.
We're going to celebrate the crab this Halloween. Thank you so much for joining me. Do you guys have anything to plug?
Yeah. We're actually a part of the same, super group. Is that what do we call ourselves, Bridget?
Oh, I like super
the
group.
The bean team.
Yeah. The bean team. I was just going to say network, but super group sounds better.
Yeah,
I also like bean team. Yeah. I know that that's my thing that I call you, but I kind of keep on saying it.
Yeah. We both have our own shows. Multiple shows, actually. There's Michael Swaim, Adam Ganser, other names that are tied to it. You can find us at, Small Beans, wherever you find podcasts, or patreon.com/smallbeans is usually where you kick around with us. So, yeah, it's a
fun
time.
That's why I call them the Bean Team, because their network is called the Small Beans Network.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, check it out. We have podcasts on there, and we're just as fun.
Yeah, we're pretty chill. Yeah. We talk movies and music, and like, for example, Bridget does Rough Stuff. We just had an episode of that drop just mm-hmm. recently, where her friend, our friend Sarah Griffith, talks to Bridget's parents and asks her questions about her childhood.
It was so fun.
Squirms in the background, unable to do anything.
It's all the same kind of note you get here. It's a lot of me squirming.
I think I've been a guest on Rough Stuff, and I talked about how I used to eat snails as a child, and Bridget immediately kicked me out.
Yeah.
Immediately. You're out of here. You're gone. Yeah, we're going to have you on A Frame Rate, Katie, which is our movie podcast.
Let's talk about crabs.
Let's talk about her, but yeah.
And I'm on Twitter at Bridget Tweets. And that's where my stuff is right now.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
And you can find us at Creature Feature Pod on Instagram, at Creature Feet Pod on Twitter. That's F-E-A-T, not F-E-E-T. That's something very different. I am Katie Golden on Twitter, KATIEGOLDIN, where, you know, you can check out my Katie thoughts. And I'm also at ProBird Rights, where I know that I seem like in this episode I worship the crab, but I also worship the bird. Ultimately, I do welcome the birds as our overlords. Until the crabs take the crown from the birds and rule over us.
So until they become one. Really?
Right, until the crab and birds fuse to form the sort of like flying crabs that will rule the universe.
God.
The flight crabs. No, not the flight crabs.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I really appreciate it. I really hope you all have a good October season. And if you're enjoying the podcast, if you rate and review it, first of all, I read all of the reviews. I really appreciate it. It warms my heart to read them. And it also helps us out with the algorithms. So I really, really appreciate when you guys do that. Also, if you have any questions, you can always email creaturefeaturepod@gmail.com. Send me your questions. You can also like be like, hey, I want an episode about mice. And I'll be like, yeah, why not? So, or pictures of your pets. Always love those. And thanks to the Space Cossacks for their super awesome song, Exolumina. Creature Features, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts like the one you just heard, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or inside of the crab that we live in right now. See you next Wednesday. Or should I say... Crabs Day.